Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for placing your life on the cross for us, Lord. Thank you for that drop of blood, Father, for us. That drop of blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary has washed us, has made us as white as snow. Father, this morning, it's a good Friday. It's a good Friday not because we have a day off at work or at school. It's a good Father, good Friday to remember what you have done on the cross for us. Thank God for that Friday. Thank God for that Friday. To receive those nails of love for us. And you cried out. You prayed for us. And I thank you, Lord, for this morning, oh God, as you've brought us here today. Friends and families and from all over the place. We've come here to gather today to celebrate this Friday. Celebrate what you have done for us. So, Father, as we get into your word this morning, we ask you, Father, that we put aside everything that will lead to distraction. We'll put our hearts and our minds tuned to you this morning, Lord. But, Father, before we go into the word this morning, we want to pray for the sick among us. You know who they are, Lord. You've died on the cross even for that. By your stripes we are healed. So we pray for the sick among us this morning, oh God, in this place. We pray, oh God, that you will visit them in a mighty precious way this morning, oh God. Wherever they have pain this morning, we ask you, Lord, the Holy Spirit would just flow in their lives right now and remove that pain in Jesus' name. Father, there's so many names we want to present before you, even Brother David Woods, oh Father. Jim's brother-in-law, Father. We have heard the news that he has cancer, but, oh Lord, all things are possible with you. So that in the name of Jesus, we pray this, oh God. Total healing upon his body, upon his life right now, we pray this, oh God. Visit him right now wherever he is, Lord, this morning, oh Lord. Touch his life completely, oh Lord. Father, you have come. You have came on this earth for the broken to make whole. So, Father, we pray right now. We're pleading. We're asking, Lord, please, Lord, do thy work in the life of the sick among us, O Lord. Even for the ones who are emotionally drained, O Lord. For the ones who are financial problems, oh God. Situations at home, situations with families, situations with their kids, whatever it is, oh Lord. Let this Good Friday be a good Friday, Lord. Once again, pour out your love upon these families. In your name we pray. In your name we pray this, oh Father. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. And all the time, God is good. So let me just shoot out something to you this morning. What is Good Friday for you? I want to hear someone say, what is a Good Friday for you? Just one or two comments. What is a Good Friday for you? Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, many of around the world say, it's Good Friday. We're not working today. You know, and happy. But really, Good Friday means Christ has died for you and for me. And because he died on the cross for you and for me, he gave us the love and that hope and that peace upon our life. And we know that by his stripes, we are healed. Amen. I just want to welcome every one of you this morning. I'm so happy to see you here this morning on a Good Friday day. It's, you know, you could have been home and having some bacon and eggs or something like that, or But you're here in the house of the Lord to hear from God and to hear what God has in store for every one of you here this morning. So I'm just so grateful. If you're here for the first time, you're with us this morning, welcome to New Hope Christian Assembly. If you had seen something like people raising hands and people just shouting and people getting excited and dancing and everybody, it's because we are so rejoicing in the Lord. The Bible also speaks about that, rejoice in the Lord. So it's something that we as believers, when we are excited and when we know that Christ has saved our lives and changed our lives, we just want to honor Him and glorify Him, and we just raise our hands before Him. So this is something that we do on a weekly basis here at New Hope Christian Assembly. This morning, I want to share with you about the cross. It's a while that we haven't spoken about the cross, but I think it's a good opportunity to speak about the cross on a Good Friday day. Are you with me this morning? So I would like to share with you the last words of Jesus when He was on the cross that He loved, that the world, that He gave His only begotten Son for you and for me. It was on the cross. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become righteous of God in Him." Thank God for that cross, for you and I can be righteous of God in Him. Amen. And He did so. He did that, dying on the cross, so He can bring us to God Himself. The cross is a symbol. If you look, have you ever noticed that there are crosses all over the places? You've seen crosses on steeples on churches. You've seen crosses on people wearing earrings as a cross, or a cross around their neck. We all have these crosses on their baseball cap, on their shirts. We see that there's crosses all over the place. Some churches have these crosses all over the places in the churches. But the cross identifies our faith, the cross of Jesus Christ. Why do we have a cross as a symbol? It identifies our faith. And these are words that Jesus said on the cross. And those words that Jesus spoke on the cross tell us why He died and why we can celebrate today. So I want to speak to you about the words that Jesus said on the cross. It is extremely important, those seven words that He said on the cross, that you and I must grasp it and understand why He said those seven words on the cross. Dying on the cross and being crucified on the cross, it was a torture way how to die on the cross. And the person dying on the cross is like suffocating. And when a person is suffocating, it's very hard to speak. If you ever noticed, when you were children and you're playing with you, people were playing with themselves or sitting on you or just putting something over, it's suffocating. When you suffocate, you can't really speak. It's hard to speak. So this is a way of torture when you're on the cross. There's suffocation. Now, I use that illustration. I hope you weren't playing that game, choking yourself when you were a kid. I was just telling you, there's a suffocation. You can't really speak when they're being suffocated. So a way of dying on the cross was a way of suffocating. But Jesus, through all this suffocating, dying on the cross, being nailed to the cross, being all this beaten, all this staying on that cross, placed Himself on the cross, received those nails, He still spoke. He still spoke. And those words are extremely important that I want to share with you. Those words gives us, it changed the world. It gave us living words, words of victor. The seven words that Jesus spoke on the cross has an important message to the world. And let me go through it then with you briefly as we go into our message this morning. The first ones was words of appeal. In Luke 23:34 Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." He's on the cross, and instead of praying for Himself, He is praying for others. He says, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Words of an appeal. God, forgive them. They need Your help. They need You. Words of an appeal. What is Jesus saying is, in the last hour, Jesus was praying a request to His Father. It is remarkable that Jesus was not praying for Himself, but He was concerned about the people that was responsible for crucifying Him. So He's asking God to forgive them. Jesus was thinking of the souls much greater, much greater, and they were in much greater danger, much greater peril than his own. And then we see that is love, words of an appeal. We see that, Lord, Father, forgive them. Then we see the second words again, Jesus on this cross. Remember, this is all suffocating. It is hard to speak on the cross. Let me tell you something. It is hard to speak when you receive something on your finger and you hammer your nail or some you hammer your finger. You can't speak. There's pain up there. And he is speaking. This is an amazing thing. Those words are extremely important when he's up there and he's speaking. Second words, he speaks to the other criminal. He says, these were words of assurance of a dying thief. Jesus said, this day you will be with me in paradise. Assured, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. He gave him words of assurance right there to that dying thief right there. One of them did not take it, but the other one received the words of assurance. And you know, the moment he died, he went in paradise with Jesus. Then there were words of affection. When he spoke to his mother, and Jesus gave his mother to his beloved disciple. It says now they stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's side. Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. We see words of affection when Jesus gives his mother to his beloved disciple. Then the darkness comes all over the earth. Approach the Lamb, and Jesus was on the cross again. And you hear these words of abandonment. In Matthew 27:46, it says, and he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why are you forsaking me? He's crying out in a loud voice, reaching out. This is, why have you forsaken me? A cry of abandonment right there. He's going out. Remember, you're in pain right here. And he's crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? How many of us have cried out that way when we're in pain, when we're in suffering, when we're having a hard time? My God, why have you forsaken me? Didn't you experience that in the past days, in the past week? There are times we feel that way. And here Jesus was felt that abandonment. And he cried out, my God, my God. And then we see other words that he spoke again. Words of agony. Words of pain. Words of suffering. It was human suffering. He says, I thirst. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, then the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there. And they filled it up with sponge, with sour water, put it in a hippus, and put it into his hands. We see in his mouth, we see it was a words of agony right there. I thirst. He was in pain. He was suffering. He was having a hard time on that cross. But all these words are extremely important for Jesus. And then he says the words, it is finished. Words of accomplishment. It's done. John 19:30 says, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing down his head, he gave up his spirit. And then goes on again. It says, the words of acceptance. The Bible tells us when Jesus cried out with a loud voice again, it says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. So we see that Jesus had extremely seven powerful words. You can have a study on the seven powerful words right here. But this morning, I want to talk to you about it is finished. He never said, I am finished. He said, it is finished. The text this morning is in John chapter 19, verse 30. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. In bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. It is finished. Completion. Fulfillment. And the Greek word for it is tetelestai. The debt has been paid. Paid in full. It is finished. It's accomplished. I came to do what I had to do. It is finished now. And we see the enemy is all there and looking at him and probably laughing at him and mocking Jesus. But Jesus said, it is finished. There's a big surprise for Satan when he said, it is finished. The victor goes out with a shout. And then Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. It is finished, he said. A defeater goes out with a long face and discouragement, but a victor announced, a victor with a shout, it is finished. I have done it, paid in full. Are you with me this morning? When you're doing something, when you start something and you finish, there's an excitement in you. And you say, I've done it. I paid my mortgage. Paid in full. He said, it is finished. With a loud voice. I don't think you sit down and say, I paid my mortgage today. It's over. No, there's an excitement. There's a party. You're having shrimp. I know many of you don't like shrimp, but lobster. Because you finished the debt. And Jesus said with a loud voice, it is finished. I'm not finished, but it's finished. I have come here to do something else. And it's beautiful to hear this. To hear these words, it is finished. Now let me go back. See, it's tetelestai. It is done. That's a Greek word, tetelestai. Can you pronounce it with me? It's pretty hard, huh? Tetelestai. So just, you have to really say tetelestai. Tai. So when I have to say those words, I got to try tetelestai. Now I understand it. Pretty easy for me. Paid in full. It is finished. Now let's go back to my IKEA project that I've done last Sunday. Remember I said if you don't have the owner's manual and you don't read the owner's manual, you're going to have a chair with three legs instead of four. Or you're going to have an extra piece. Or you're going to have extra screws because you haven't read the owner's manual. But let me tell you something. When I get back to the owner's manual, and Lily helps me out to read the owner's manual because we're both getting blind here. We can't see anymore. So when we get all these things up and we finish our item, I look at her and say, I've done it. It's finished. It's excitement. I didn't say I am finished. It's finished because she's going to give me other work. She's going to give me something else to do. So it's finished, Lily. I've done it. It's done. Complete. Finito. And you get excited. I don't have to look at the IKEA product anymore. We're excited right there. It's done. What about our mortgage? I said it paid off. We get excited and it's paid off. What about a soldier? Used the soldier when he won the battle. They got this form to tell us that it is finished. You and I know that starting something is easy, but finishing is very hard to do. We can all start the January 1, what year you want, New Year's Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's resolution, I'm going to lose 50 pounds, and we get excited, and all of a sudden, 7 days later, ooh, I can't finish it. We start well, but it's hard to finish in anything in life. Well, not just that, in anything in life, it's so easy to start. I'm excited, I want to start. But then we have some problems, and we can't finish it. But Jesus says, I came to start, but also to finish what I came here for. It is finished, he said. He finished, and he did that work for you and for I. And I'm happy that he said those words, it is finished. What about puzzles? Who likes puzzles? You know, we get excited for puzzles, and you have 2,000 little puzzles there. I get excited. Wow, that picture looks so nice. I start. 2 days later, under the bed. I can't finish it. I don't like this. It's too hard for me. Your mind is going crazy and trying to. But people like to finish, start, and finish. But I hate. I like to start puzzles. I like the way it looks, but it's very hard to finish. It takes a lot of time to finish a puzzle when you have thousands and thousands of little pieces, and you have a hard time to understand it. What I'm trying to say is that finishing is not easy. But when we do it, we cry out saying, it is finished with a loud voice. It's done. I complete it. And here it is the same with Jesus says, in a loud voice, it is finished. And he gave up his spirit right there. God has called every one of us to finish life well. Every single one of us has called us to finish the life well. And since Philippians 1:6, be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What's encouraging, when Jesus starts something, he finishes. If Jesus starts working in your life, he will finish the work in your life. He will bring it to complete, the work that has started in your life and in my life. Why? Because Jesus has done it on the cross for you and I. Listen, please. He didn't say, I'm finished. He said, it is finished. There's a completely different meaning when someone says, it is finished, and I am finished. When you say, I'm finished, you're not going back anymore. It's done. It's done. It's finished. I'm not going to go back anymore. But he says, I am finished. He's finished to do something on the cross. And now he died on the cross for you and I. And we know the rest of the story. 3 days later, he dies and been resurrected and goes into heaven with his Father. And the beautiful thing is, he promises that when I go with my Father, the Holy Spirit will be with you. That is a promise that is given with us. Because if he says, I am finished, you wouldn't have no Holy Spirit. But he says, it is finished. The work that I have completed on this world, it is finished. But let me tell you, I'm coming back and I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit in your life so you can walk a victorious life in Christ Jesus. Amen? So we see this here. Scriptures have been fulfilled. It was planned. It was prophesied from the beginning of time. The Bible tells us that long before the world began, God had a plan to bring redemption through Jesus Christ. And you find that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. But with the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without blemish and without spot, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. God planned it. God planned it all along in knowing that Satan will rebel and then man would sin. God had a plan knowing that Satan and man will bring destruction. And you see, this world is a world of destruction. It was planned. The plan was redemption. It was salvation for you and I this morning. From the beginning to the end of the Bible, it was prophesied that Jesus would fulfill it. It was finished. It is finished. I am not finished, but it is finished. So from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, there's hundreds of prophecies that we see in the Old Testament, that Jesus would come and die and raise from the grave. It was prophesied. Even the words of Jesus when he was on the cross, there are words that you can look through the scriptures that Jesus was, it was all prophesied. It was planned from the beginning. And I want to give you just a little bit of illustration, a little Bible verse where it was prophesied and it is fulfilled. Here it is. Christ triumphed right into Jerusalem. Zechariah 9:9, the coming king. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just having salvation. Lo, and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Then it was fulfilled in John chapter 12, verses 12 to 15. Is it the next day of a great multitude that had been going to the feast? When they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches, palm trees, and went out and meet him and cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. And then Jesus, when he has found a young donkey, sat on it, and it was written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on the donkey's colt. I don't have the Bible verses for that there. I don't have it on the PowerPoint, but I can give it to you. There's prophecies from the Old Testament and then fulfillment also in the New Testament, and prophesied and fulfilled we see. And all we know another one in Isaiah 53, it says, For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And fulfilled, it fulfilled in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He himself bore our sins, his own body on the tree, that we're having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. There are so many prophecies fulfilled that we can go through in this morning. But what I'm trying to bring out to you this morning is this, that it was planned from the beginning. It was planned with perfection at the cross. Those words were planned with perfection at the cross. Think of this for a moment. If God had planned this with perfection, and prophecy and fulfilled on regarding the first coming of Jesus Christ, don't you think it's prophesied, promised and prophesied the second coming of Jesus Christ? If we fulfilled it, all the prophecies, his second coming is going to come. So be ready, church. It is planned with perfection. The second coming of Jesus Christ is going to come back again. Are you with me this morning? Are you ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ? If it's prophesied for him dying on the cross, don't you think it's also prophesied the second coming of Jesus Christ? We serve a God who's a God of perfection. And he fulfills the promises and the prophecies. So once he says something, it will happen. If he said that we're going to die on the cross, it happened. So if he says the second coming of Jesus Christ, it will happen. Some people might not believe that, but it will happen. Jesus is coming back. It is prophesied. And we must be ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Let your heart not be troubled, the Bible tells us. You believe in God, believe also in me. In John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And there I am, that you may also be. Count on it. He will come back. It's going to happen. Why? Because God loves you and God loves me so much. And he loves us so much. The Bible says that in John chapter 3:16, for God so loved the world so that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe that God sent his Son on the cross? Do you believe that God sent his Son on the cross for you and I? Do you believe and trust that he died for you and he raised 3 days later? If you believe that this morning, that he is the only one that died on the cross for you and I. Are you with me this morning? If you believe in that and you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you and you accept Jesus into your life, into your heart, he is with you. He has forgiven you. How amazing to see. To see that God sent his only begotten Son on the cross for you and for me. Now let me ask you something. Would you die for someone? Would you really die for someone? Think of it a moment. It's even difficult. I was talking to Leslie this week. It's even difficult. Now, you're on a boat, on a ship, and you have your spouse there, and you have your kids there. Which one would you die for? Think of it. Will you die for your spouse? Or would you die for your children? It's pretty hard to think of that. Some of us might say, I'm going for my children. Woo-hoo, my wife, bye-bye-bye. Some of us might go for our wife or our spouse. But it's very hard to think of that for a moment because we're not in that position now. But if we were in that position, but the thing which is all about this is God loved us so much that he gave his only Son for you and for me. Isn't that an amazing thing to know? Can you take your son and you put a cross on him and you make him carry it and you're there looking And as they nail him to the cross and raise him up in front of hundreds of people, how would you feel? But he did it for you and I because he loves us. He loves us so much. The cross, it goes like this, if you want to call it. There's other different kinds of crosses, but let's look at a cross going up to down and side to side. The heaven, he came to the earth to bring sinners to salvation. The heaven to the earth to bring us this bridge, to bring us to him. Isn't that amazing? The cross. They use that cross to crucify people, but that cross means significance for you and I. Now, crosses could have been this way, or crosses could have been this way, or whatever way, but the point is that he died on the cross from heaven to earth to bring sinners to him. He died on the cross for you and I. Someone said the cross is the bridge that connects sinners with the holy God. Remember, Jesus, what? Paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it as white as snow. We were in prison, in debt, in his precious blood. He washed you and he washed me. And we sing that song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And we can go on because I have other ones. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But the blood of Jesus has washed you and has washed me. He paid it for us. And now because of the cross, you and I can say, I love you so much, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross. That's what makes Good Friday. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. That cross, that symbol of faith, that cross, when you put yourself on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Is dying on the cross for me. Because of that drop of blood has washed me as white as snow. His suffering was finished when he said, it is finished. He went through sufferings that no man went through. Many people died on the cross. There were punishments. That was a physical death. The difference is that Jesus, not only he died in a physical death, with pain, but the spiritual pain and the separation from God and carrying the weight of the world and then carried it on the cross for you and I. It is finished. Satan is defeated right there at the cross. You understand what I'm saying here? That thief died beside him with pain, but Jesus died, yes, with pain, but also with the sin of the world upon him. That makes a big difference right there. Because he died for you and I and took our sins, that you and I can have a life of victory because Christ has paid it all for you and for I. Yes, thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Now, oh, one final thing. Not only that the scriptures are fulfilled and sin is forgiven, Satan is finished. There is one perfect thing in this world and is the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing else is perfect. Only the love of Jesus Christ is perfect. And you and I experienced the love of people can make you fail. It can disappoint you. It can hurt you. But the love of Jesus Christ brings you whole. That's the only thing that's perfect in this world. Revelations 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And to the word of their testimony, and did they not love their lives to, did they not love their lives to the death? They overcame who? Satan. By the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Oh wow! Look at this. because this is good for something else. Look at it. There's some good meanings right here. They overcame him, they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of testimony. So children of God, if you don't share your testimony, what Christ has done into your life, when Christ changed you, when Christ touched your life, when Christ gave you life, and he breathed life in you, your testimony is something that opens up prison doors in people's lives. You're testifying and saying, Christ has changed me. I'm alive and well because Christ lives within me. And you should not be ashamed what Christ has done in you. Share your testimony. Share the wonderful works of God has done in your life. They overcame him, Satan, by the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary and by the word of their testimony. Many of us have testimonies today. Satan was defeated at the cross. And the Bible tells that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That's why we sing, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the what? In the blood. In the blood of the Lamb. Hebrews 2:14. In so much as them as children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power over death, that is, the devil. Satan made his last move. He made his last move. He thought he would win. But we know that he had lost. Satan gathered all his demons. As you look at the little pamphlet I put in, Satan has gathered all his demons and pointed at the cross and said, if it was not that drop of blood, I would have ruled the world. Satan was defeated and has no power and no authority in your life and in my life because Satan was defeated because of the cross. Because of the blood, he has given us the power, he has given us his authority to say, stop, Satan. He has given us that authority in Jesus' name. Yeah, I can tell you something. Satan was defeated. Satan, but is still out there. He is out there. He's not in the pit yet. Yet. But he will be there forever and ever. He is seeking to kill people's lives. Today he is alive and active on planet Earth, and he will be put into a pit of hell forever and ever and ever. The devil still has power, but does not have authority over your life. He has the power to come and manipulate, but you have the authority to say, stop in the name of Jesus. And Christians, this is where we must come up and rise up and say, with the authority that Christ has given to you, in the name of Jesus, stop. As the police officer comes, and you run away from the cops, what is he going to tell you? He has this authority, and he says, stop! In the name of a policeman. But Christ dying on the cross for you and I have accepted him as our personal savior in your life. It is time for you and I to say in the name of Jesus, stop, Satan. You have no right to be there. When he reminds you of your past failures or fears, you remind him where he's going to be in the future. In the pit of hell. When he reminds you you're worthless, remind in the scriptures that you are a child of God, a royal priesthood. Remind him that. When he reminds you that you are nothing, you're nothing in this world. No, you remind me he has paid the price for me. And that blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary has washed me as white as snow. You have the authority to say in the name of Jesus, out. All who believe in Jesus Christ. If you have accepted him as your personal savior, he's given us this power and this authority.
So don't you walk home with your head down like a defeated Christian. You walk home and share out with a loud voice. You're walking in victory because he has given us his authority in saying the name of Jesus out. He died for you and I to give us this power and this authority. Yeah, the devil is active in this world. But we are also, he's still active. Christ is still there. He's still alive and well. He gives us his authority out. Don't play with Satan. Don't have no make. Just leave him out. You don't belong here. We tell him that. And you know when that happens, he gives us, God gives us this, just a spirit in us, a boldness, and a force, an energy, and we're energized because Christ has filled our lives. Remember, you're not his toy. You're not Satan's toy. You're not a puppet. You are a child of God, and he has given you this authority in Jesus' name. He has given us this authority today. And we see people walking in this world, even believers are walking like zombies, defeated and sad and discouraged. Wake up and smell the coffee. He has given us the authority in Jesus' name. Tell him to stop. Tell him to get out of your household. Tell him to get out of your business. It's not your business, Satan. I tell you where you go, Satan. You belong in the pit of hell. Because Christ has given me this authority. In Jesus' name, stop. Stop. Because Christ has defeated the enemy. New Hope Christian Assembly. No fear of death. No fear of life. Christ is with us. Colossians 2:15, having disarmed principality and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. But because of Christ dying on the cross for us, remember this, it is finished. He came to do his work, to be obedient to his Father, to be crucified for you and I. He never said, I'm finished. He said, it is finished. So I want to encourage you this morning. His perfect love makes it possible that we can live in victory. Ordained it from the beginning, planned it from the beginning, prophesied, fulfilled, dying on the cross for you and I. When you and I have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, has given us this power and this authority to cast out any opposition, any plan of the enemy to come against you, against your household, against our church. He gives us authority to say, in the name of Jesus, stop. So this morning, that is my encouragement to all of you today. Remembering the cross. Those important words, suffocating on the cross for you and I. And those important words are still changing the lives of thousands and thousands of people today as we speak. Thousands of lives are being changed because of Jesus dying on the cross for you and I. So this is my encouragement to you this morning. If you're here for the first time and you have never accepted Jesus, or you've heard a message this way, and you never heard a message about the cross, or you have heard, but you have never made that decision to follow Christ. And you say, maybe this is the time for me to accept him as my personal Savior. I want to experience this love. I want to experience this peace. I want to experience this authority has given into my life to cast out demons, or to cast out anything that comes to torment me. I want him into my life today. If you're here for the first time and you never accepted him, I encourage you to do so today. As we're going to conclude this morning, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for every one of us here, and then we go home and be blessed and be with our families. But remember the words of Jesus on the cross. So everybody stand up for a moment. As the musicians can come, maybe sing one more song about the cross or anything that they have prepared for us. And just reflect of the words of Jesus this morning. Precious Lord. Precious Lord. So Jesus is telling us that I paid a price for you. He's telling me to tell you a story. He says, tell me your wounds. Tell me your guilt. Tell me your struggles. And I will tell you the reason why I came. By his stripes, we are healed. It is finished. It's my encouragement to you today. As we sing this song together, reflect on what Jesus has done on the cross for you and I this morning. Let's sing together.
Is the flow.